Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. This is a division of the Wash and Word. Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Churchill in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11. And my name is Matthew, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business. And we invite you to come by. Let us work to earn the money to support ourselves and also to support this ministry. We are a self-sufficient ministry, and you can support us by just coming by and allowing us to work to earn our money. That being said, we also want to invite you to go to the Wash and Word website. It's washnword.com. There you can listen to the archived messages that are aired on this radio station and also find out all you want to know about the business and this ministry. Also, we invite you to come to the parking lot of the Wash and Word, and we play these messages that you hear on this radio station throughout the week. We play them on a loop over and over again during business hours, and we play them on 107.1 FM. You can just come into the parking lot, whether you get your car washed or not. You can turn to 107.1 FM, and there you can hear these and other messages playing on a loop throughout the week while we're open. Now, being a verse-by-verse Bible ministry, we get back into where we left off yesterday, and we're looking at Jesus is talking about the reason that he came, and that was mainly for so that people will never thirst, and that all that the Father has given him, none will perish. And we're looking at these four statements. We talked a little bit yesterday about the statements that as a pastor or a teacher you try to stay away from, and those are using the words always and the word never, because those two words are really hard to say when you're talking about God, because God can do anything and does things that are beyond our understanding. So to apply the word never or always to any Bible teaching is really a risky thing to do, because God is God and he can do whatever he wants. So to say something like God always punishes the wicked, you know, or God, never... I don't have an example right now, but anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. Always and never are words to stay away from. Now, I brought that up because in the section we read yesterday, verses 35 through 40, Jesus uses four of those words, and that's where we left off yesterday. And we'll, by way of quick recap, he starts off with three never statements and then one always statement. And the three never statements... And you can listen to yesterday's message by going to the washandword.com website, clicking on the media tab, and there you can see all of the messages that have been recorded and aired right there on that webpage. And so the first never statement was, whoever comes to Jesus will never hunger again. We saw that in verse 35, chapter 6. By the way, we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I don't know if I mentioned that. The second never statement was, whoever comes to Jesus will never thirst again. That was also in verse 35. Thirdly, whoever comes to Jesus will never be alone again. And that was in verse 37. And then we left off talking about the fourth statement, and that is, whoever comes to Jesus will always have eternal security. And we see that in verse 39, where Jesus says, this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but rather raise them up in the last day. And so we have three never statements, and then this always statement, whoever comes to Jesus will always have eternal security. And we talked about the four aspects of survival in the wilderness. And the first order of survival is to find shelter, because you can live 3 days without water and you can go 3 weeks without food, but without proper shelter, you can die overnight. So let me make it known today that if you put your faith in Christ and you trust him for your eternal salvation, for the sacrifice of your sins, and you hold on to him, and this is important, no matter what happens in your life, and no matter how many times your feet and your hands may slip down a rope, let me make it known that I repeat, do not preach that you can lose your salvation. Whoever comes to Jesus will always have eternal security. Now, that last statement I just said, that I preach, that you cannot lose your salvation, that's one of those touch points. There are several of them when you preach the Word of God. And this is, I think this is why a lot of people don't want to do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because eventually you're going to hit one of those points that cause such division and have such a polarity about them that it's better just to steer away from them. But I don't think that's what God wanted. I don't think God wanted... Sometimes it's better to give your interpretation of the Scripture and, you know, or even what your suggestion of that interpretation is. And if you're wrong, God could take care of that. But it's better to talk about these things than it is to avoid them. Because if you could lose your salvation, then Christ's death and sacrifice was not sufficient for a particular sin. Do you understand how important that last statement is? If a sin or sinfulness can cause you to lose your salvation, then you're saying that your sin is greater than Christ's sacrifice. Now, put into those terms, that's a ridiculous statement, isn't it? Because there's no way one of your sins is greater than the sacrifice of Jesus. 1 John 5:13 says this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I mean, could you imagine walking around as a Christian in continual debate as to whether or not you have eternal life? Do you think you could ever achieve any kind of fullness and joy in Christianity if you constantly worried about whether or not your salvation was going to stay with you and that your eternal security was secure? We have a lot of people walking around like that. And I tell you, you're not able to receive from God all that He has for you until you get over this, until you realize that He holds you in His hands. Jesus Himself said, "I shall lose none of all that He has given me." F.B. Meyer wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. They hired three guys and began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order: guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. They had gone only a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a toehold in the niches that they had cut in the ice. But then the next man slipped, and he pulled down the two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, who had driven a spike deep into the ice. And because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. F.B. Meyer concluded his story by drawing a spiritual application. He said, "I am like one of those men who slipped, but thank God I am bound in a living partnership to Christ. And because He stands, I will never perish." And friends, I ask you, where is your footing today? Because if it's in anything you're doing, if it's in anything that you're trusting in of yourself, then yeah, you will slip and you may fall. But if your salvation is in Christ, He will not let anyone go. I hope that encourages somebody out there today. Let's continue reading, picking it up in verse 41. "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Stopping there, we see that verse 41 started off with "at this." "At this" is referring to the words Jesus had just said, how he equated himself with the Father and that he was the bread of life and that none will hunger, none will thirst, none will be alone, and they will always have eternal security. And so when they heard this, it says in verse 41, they began to grumble. And I find it interesting that this crowd actually pursued Jesus. They chased him around a lake. They hailed him for the things that he had done. They wanted to make him their king. They saw the miracles, and yet suddenly they got offended. And I think it's funny how people are, that no matter how much good that you do for somebody, sometimes all it takes is one action or one sentence or even one word, and all the good is erased. How fickle was this crowd? But before we get too hard on them, I think we can all relate. You know, we are a fickle people. I remember when I pastored the church that we had in Florida, I had people that were coming there for months, sometimes even years, who would often say that they loved the church and they loved the people and they loved, you know, hearing the teaching of the word and the vision that we had for the church. They loved the preaching and the music, and, you know, on and on they would go. And for months or years they would come. But as soon as I got to a portion of scripture that they disagreed with, it was out the door they went. If I insulted them in some way by preaching the word of God in all of its entirety, even this message, some of you might have thought about turning it off, or I might not even be talking to some of you who already turned it off because they didn't believe in eternal security in Christ. And if we did things that offended people, if we limited talking during the service or speaking in tongues and limited that to a certain forum, they would get offended. If you said one wrong thing, they would forget all the good stuff that they heard in the past, and out the door they would go. And do you know what kind of people get offended and storm off when certain issues are presented that they don't like? Spiritually immature people. Those are the ones who can't sit and debate rationally. They're immature. And unless I, on this radio station or in these messages, unless I flat out deny a non-debatable issue, or I blaspheme God or Jesus in some way, mature Christians have to learn to agree to disagree. And this philosophy of agreeing to disagree is what's best for the body as a whole. If we run around in just leaving and running away every time there's a disagreement, the body will never be in coherence. Just like the people who shouted, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," just a chapter later were screaming out, "Crucify him," in that same week. Benjamin Desiree once said, "Little things affect little minds." Spiritually immature people get offended when they hear something they don't agree with. And again, unless it's something that completely goes against the biblical foundations that are immovable and they are completely unchangeable, then we have to rise above that as Christians. And the one thing I love about the New Testament stories is that they define who we are also, don't they? And incidentally, the one thing I hate about the New Testament stories is that they define who we are also. Peter was impulsive. Paul had struggles. And we see ourselves in the people of the New Testament. I love when I read the word and I see people nodding in agreement. Some will shake their head in disbelief. And it's those who are walking around with wicked hearts and shaking their heads that need to hear the truth of God's word the most. In closing, friends, I just want you to remember, even though we love to follow Jesus, when we hear something we don't want to hear, we have to embrace it. Forgive our enemies? I wanted to kill them and tell God they died. No. Warn a divisive brother? No, I want to divide him myself. Submit to authority? I submit to no one. This is where we have to be mature. Well, that's it for today. We hope you join us tomorrow and come by and let us work on your car at the Wash and Word hand car washing business in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. Also, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Have a blessed day.